Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Happy Annunciation. Today we remember Our Lady in a unique day. We celebrate the amazing moment in which the fullness of time was inaugurated, the Catechism tells us. In the paragraph 484, it says, the Annunciation to Mary from the angel Gabriel inaugurates the fullness of time. It refers to Galatians as well. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world. That was the moment. That was the time. God's plan of salvation. Who would have believed what God's plan of salvation would entail? Catechism continues. It says, the time of the fulfillment of God's promises and preparations. Everything led up to this moment. Mary was invited to conceive him in whom the whole fullness of deity would dwell bodily.
Wow.
In the person of Jesus. This began in the womb of Mary. Do you see how much the Lord loves his creation? Do you see how much he desires to draw near, to heal, to transform, to love, to dwell in? And in this case, Mary's unique calling, I mean, we can say it, utterly unique calling, where Jesus physically dwelt in her body. The lifeblood that's in Jesus, he received from her. But let's go back to the Catechism here for the moment. It says, the whole fullness of the deity would dwell bodily. The divine response to her question, how can this be, since I know not man, was given by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. There's so much right here in this paragraph that's revealed. What is the fullness of time about? The fullness meaning God's plan of salvation that he was working throughout all the people of Israel and all their journeys through the Old Testament, forging a people, revealing himself more and more, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. The time had come when God's plan and the coming of the Messiah, which was being anticipated but not understood, that God would come to dwell not just among us but in us, not just in a holy of holies, in a tabernacle, in a holy place, the holiest place on the earth. But where's God's final destiny? Where does God want to be in this work of salvation? He wants to dwell in us. And he begins by, in his Son, coming to dwell in the womb of Mary. The eternal Son of God takes on humanity, human flesh. He dwells bodily. That's how profound, friends, and how close. I'm stumbling for words this morning to be able to describe what I'm feeling inside, but just the reality. He can't get closer to us. He can't identify more fully with us. He can't rescue us more thoroughly. It's all the way down. He didn't come to take away our humanity, because he created our humanity, loves it. But fallen humanity has come to heal it, to transform it, to make it new. And he did that by giving us a share in his life and sending his Son in the flesh so that human flesh in all of its troubles and problems could be healed, transformed, saved, and fulfilled. Paragraph 485. The mission of the Holy Spirit is always conjoined and ordered to that of the Son. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, is sent to sanctify the womb of the Virgin Mary and divinely fecundate her, you know, like to plant the seed, causing her to conceive the eternal Son of the Father in a humanity drawn from her own. Friends, here's why Scripture says, all generations will call her blessed. This is why, I mean, she's a human being. She's not part human, part divine. She's not a demigod. But through the Immaculate Conception, by God's choice, she was freed from, she was conceived without sin, original sin. So she didn't have that fundamental wound that we all share. And how did that happen? By God's choice. It's the work of her son, Jesus, God who's not in time, his death on the cross, his precious blood applied to her life. God's grace makes her the vessel, the mother of the Son of God. Again, 485, the mission of the Holy Spirit is always conjoined and ordered to that of the Son. So the Holy Spirit and the Son are joined together in one mission. That is to bring about this incarnation that was prepared for at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel came to reveal to Mary the mystery of God's plan to this faithful daughter of Israel. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, is sent to sanctify the womb of the Virgin Mary. Paragraph 486, the Father's only Son conceived as a man in the womb of the Virgin Mary is Christ. That is to say, anointed by the Holy Spirit. So this the man Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Son of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit from the beginning of his human existence. Through the manifestation of this fact takes place only progressively. Some of the shepherds see it, others see it, but it was there in fullness, the beginning. Paragraph 487, what the Catholic faith believes about Mary is based on what it believes about Christ, and what it teaches about Mary illuminates in turn its faith in Christ. Just as Mary and Jesus are so uniquely joined in the conceiving of Jesus and carrying him for 9 months and giving birth to him, there's a unique unity that Jesus had with no one else like Mary. And she knew him in a way no one else could know him. And so she helps us see and understand who he is and how to respond to him and how to follow him. You know, the church gives these extraordinary titles to Our Lady. And as it should be, she's the first disciple. She's the one, you know, who I'm sure, I mean, Jesus loves to fill us all with glory, but can you imagine Jesus fulfilling the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, the way, how much joy it brought to his heart to be able to clothe his mother in glory? And she engages in, again, in a unique way, but along with the saints and angels in the mission of the Lord. And she's doing it in our time. Mary teaches us how to receive a word from the Lord, to entrust herself to it. She said, be it done unto me according to thy word. There you go. As the first disciple, that's who we're following with that heart. When the word was announced to her, she received it. And how she responded to it was, be it done unto me according to thy word. I'm your servant, Lord. I'm your handmaid. Thy will be done. Jesus would later teach us in the Lord's Prayer the same disposition of heart. Thy will be done. Yes, Father. Let that be our prayer here. And then she pondered the word. She held it deeply in her heart. We've been talking all week about the promises of God and living in faith and trust in the Father who Jesus told us, your Father knows everything you need, so don't be anxious. Don't worry. And we often come back at the Lord with, well, how can we not worry? Look at all the things there are to worry about. Look at all the troubles in my life, Lord. Look at all the pain and sorrow everywhere. And Jesus says, I'll comfort you. I understand. Look at the sorrow that Mary endured at the cross. The communion she shared with Jesus in that moment. And not only did she see her son die, friends, he was humiliated, brutally beaten, almost beyond description, horrifically mocked, unjustly treated to the max, publicly scorned. They made a public show of him. And you couldn't die a more humiliating death and shameful death. None of it deserved. And she was right there. The sorrow that pierced her heart. She held the promise of God so close. She pondered it in her heart. She didn't have a full understanding of the whole mystery that was going to unfold. She had to trust. She's a disciple. Think of how often we're tempted to say, yeah, but I prayed and this didn't happen. I've got hard things in my life. God's not hearing me. He's not listening to me. Where's all the answered prayer? Where's all the relief? God knows what you need. God's with us in the suffering. He's with us in the trials. There's profound meaning. I mean, you think Mary, as she was walking the Via Della Rosa, was like, yeah, this is great. God's plan's unfolding. Yeah, amazing. We know how she responded. But through the suffering, she trusted. She believed. That's a disciple. And she walked closely with Jesus. That's a disciple. She was intimately connected to him. That's a disciple. That's the life of a disciple. And she told everyone else, do whatever he tells you to do. That's the life of a disciple. She was totally devoted to her son. That's the life of a disciple. Mother Mary, we thank you for how you show us again and again and again what it means to love Jesus, what it means to listen to Jesus, what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to look like Jesus. Mother Mary, I pray for all who are listening this morning. Pray for my life and the life of all of our friends who are tuned in today, and the life of those they love. Help us to receive the Word of God into us like you did. Help us to ponder it at the deepest core of our being. Help us to yield to it and to walk in it and to love it. And may it form us as profoundly as it formed you. And help us, Mother Mary. We honor you today as the first disciple, as the Mother of God, as our Mother. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.